Living a holy life won't make God love you anymore. It doesn't affect God's heart towards you. But you know what? Living a holy life will affect your heart attitude towards God. That's a major point. That's what we're talking about today, so stay tuned for the gospel truth.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I started yesterday talking about a hardened heart. And I'm going to take this teaching out of Mark chapter 6. And again, let me just give you a little background on this. A number of things have happened. I'll make this very short, but I had prayed to see some people healed, and I've seen healings before. Matter of fact, one of the things that really was a catalyst in bringing this whole thing to light was that I had prayed for a man who was in a wheelchair, and I had just seen a man raised from the dead in Pritchett, Colorado. I mean, it was an absolutely awesome experience, and because of that, I had always believed that it was God's will to heal and that God could still do the same miracles today as we read about in the Bible. But when I saw this man raised from the dead, it was like everything that I'd been believing and striving for was confirmed. I knew it was God's will. I knew nothing was impossible with God. And man, I was pumped. I was excited. I went and held this meeting, and there was a man who was in a wheelchair, and I could hardly wait on myself to get through preaching so that I could go over and minister to this guy. My logic was that if God just raised this guy from the dead, it shouldn't be any big deal to see this guy who was paralyzed and in a wheelchair heal. So as soon as I got through, I just walked over to him, grabbed him by the hand, and I said, "In the name of Jesus, walk." And I grabbed him and I pulled him out of that wheelchair. And this was a big guy, and I mean, he just came out of that wheelchair like this and fell right over on his face on the floor. And he was paralyzed. He couldn't catch himself. And I was shocked. I was embarrassed. I was shamed. I mean, this guy was a big guy. He would have been over 6 foot tall if he could have stood up. And I had to grab this guy. I basically bear hugged him, put him back in his wheelchair, apologized, said, you know, be warmed and filled, and yet I couldn't give him what he needed, and I sent him on his way. And I went to the hotel room. That was in Omaha, Nebraska. And I went to my hotel room, and man, I was just devastated. And I was struggling about, God, I saw you raise a person from the dead. I've seen blind eyes open, deaf ears open, and man, I stood and did what I thought was your will and didn't see the right results. And that just really bothered me. Not only bothered me for that guy's sake, but just bothered me that, you know what, I want to represent God better than that. I know that that's not the way it would have worked if Jesus would have been here. So anyway, that started me to searching. It wasn't that what I believe about healing is wrong. And there may be somebody watching this program who doesn't believe it's God's will to heal, and you're saying, ha, ha, ha. See, that's exactly what I believe. You're misrepresenting God and everything. Well, then how do you explain the people who have been raised from the dead? I've seen 3 people raised from the dead. How do you explain the dozens, hundreds of people I've seen blind eyes open, deaf ears open? You know what? You're just barking up the wrong tree if you're telling me that God doesn't heal. I know that He does. That is not an issue with me. That's not what I'm teaching on right now, but it's absolutely true. I will not back off on that. And so I've seen people healed. I know it's God's will, and yet I don't see it happen as much as I would like, as well as I would like. So I was seeking about this, and there's a number of other things happened. I hadn't got time to go through it. But over a couple of years, period of time, all of these things kind of converged. 2 or 3 different things just converged to where this was just like the focus. I was saying, God, I've got to get an answer. And one day I was flying on an airplane. I was going from Toledo, Ohio, I think over to Chicago. And I was in this airplane and I was reading out of Mark chapter 6. And I was reading the instance where Jesus fed the 5,000 men. It doesn't say how many women and children were there, but just 5,000 men is probably at least 10 or 15,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And as I was reading this, you know, I'm sure that most of you can relate to this. There's sometimes when you read the Bible and it just is alive to you. It's speaking to you. Every word is penetrating. And then there's other times that you could read an entire chapter and you close your Bible. You wouldn't even know what chapter of the Bible you were reading from. You couldn't remember a word. Your mind was really someplace else. Well, this was one of those instances where I was reading this and it was just speaking volumes to me. And I was overwhelmed. I mean, it was just nearly like I was there when Jesus was feeding this 5,000 and multiplied the food, and it just really impacted me. So I was in this airplane, I was reading this story, and right after Jesus fed the 5,000, it says here in Mark chapter 6, verse 45, it says, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered." And again, as I was reading this, it was like every word was just speaking to me. And I had just read about him, the miracle of feeding the 5,000. I was reading about Jesus walking on the water, the very thing that was about to kill them. It was no problem to Jesus. Jesus was walking. That just still shocks me. It amazes me that God is so awesome, so powerful, that the very thing that was about to kill these disciples, this raging storm, Jesus was just walking on top of it. It was no different than walking through a pasture somewhere. It's no big deal. And, you know, there are so many applications that we could draw of this to ourselves. That sometimes you think your problem is so terrible, it's so hard, and yet it's no big deal for God. He was just walking on top of the sea. And I got to this part where they saw him, they cried out, he calmed the wind and the seas, he got into the boat. And if you read this same instance, it's recorded in John chapter 6, it says over there that when Jesus entered into the boat, that the boat was translated to the other side of the sea. I mean, the boat and the disciples and Jesus were all just instantly on the other side of the sea. Not only was the storms calm, but they were all translated. All of these things just kind of converged on me, and I was just overwhelmed. And I remember sitting in this airplane, I put my Bible down, I looked out the window, and we were flying above clouds. And I'm sure that many of you have had this experience where, you know, it's just a solid layer of clouds. And I was looking out that window, and in my mind's eye, I just imagined seeing Jesus walking across those clouds and coming and sitting on the wing of that plane. Somebody may think this is silly, but I was just picturing that, and I thought, you know what? It wouldn't be any stranger. It wouldn't take any more power. It wouldn't be any greater of a miracle to see Jesus walk on those clouds and sit on the wing of that plane than it was to walk on the water. It's all impossible. And in my mind's eye, I was just seeing these things, and I was overwhelmed. And when it came to this scripture in Mark 6:51, that says, "He went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered." See, when it said that, and I read that, I was thinking, God, that's exactly how I am. I'm overwhelmed with the magnitude of what Jesus could do, His awesome power. I was just overwhelmed. I was sore amazed in myself beyond measure and wondered. And I was feeling very satisfied with that, thinking, man, what a great thing. And thinking anybody, if they really thought about this, should be sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. And then I read the next verse. And I mean, it's just like God, in a sense, just slapped me in the face. Now, I'm not saying He did, but I'm just saying it was that stark of a reaction. It's just like, boom, it pulled me out of this attitude that I was in. In the next verse, it says, for, and the word for is a conjunction. It means it links this sentence to the previous sentence. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And so you put all this together. The reason they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered was because they hadn't considered the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. In other words, here I was feeling just wonderful about how overwhelmed I was with the awesome power and display of God, thinking about the things that He had done. And this verse put it into the perspective that, you know what, the reason you're shocked, overwhelmed by what God can do is because you have a hardened heart. That's what the Lord spoke to me. And I still remember sitting in that plane when the Lord spoke that to me, and this just, I mean, it was like a dagger in my heart. And lights began to go off. I began to start getting revelation. Because let me say something here that I think most of you, or many of you, will probably agree with. You know, I never considered myself as a person with a hardened heart. I was a person that was seeking God. I loved God. I was a minister. I was doing all of these things. And I thought a person with a hardened heart was a God hater, an atheist, somebody who was out raping and plundering, murdering, doing all of these things, liars, stealers, drug addicts, prostitutes, dope addicts. You know, those are the kind of people I would have thought had a hardened heart. But here I was, a person that loved God with my whole heart. I wouldn't have considered myself with a hardened heart. But this verse says that if you are shocked so that you are sore amazed beyond measure and you wonder to see the miraculous display of God's power, then you are a person with a hardened heart. Now that just shook me, and that's probably shaking some of you, and some of you are probably close to just rejecting this and saying, man, I'm not going to hear this. I don't believe this applies to me. I hope that you'll tune in tomorrow and let me continue this, because whether you acknowledge it or not, I believe every one of us are hardened towards God in some area of our heart. This doesn't just apply to God haters. This could apply to people who love God, and that's what we're going to be talking about. We do have a brand new series, it's not a new series, it's brand new to many of you, but it's a series that I have on hardness of heart. If you'll listen, our announcer will give you some information about how you can get that product, and then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Be sure to tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on hardness of heart. Andrew's classic teaching is available as a 4-part CD series or as a book. Request album R1003 or book number R303 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK57 titled The Crisis when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to direct you towards our website. And you can not only get this teaching that I'm doing this week, but I have all of my teachings listed there, and about 300 or 400 of my teachings are available to you as free MP3 downloads. I mean, it's a great website. You can get a lot of ministry there. I have my Bible commentary, about 12,000-15,000 verses that I've written commentary on there. You can get that. We also have our living commentary where you get monthly updates on my notes that I'm writing. I also have a guest book that I try and read every day, and I would really like to hear the comments of people about how the ministry is blessing you. So please join us at awmi.net.